Burns and Gambo.
Big Red Reacts.
Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you're talking about fun to watch.
Brought to you by Alaska Federal Credit Union.
Let's relive the game through the voices of Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley. It's Big Red Reacts here on the Burns and Gambo Show. All of the top plays, and man, are there a bunch of them. So let's go. I'll hit play on the play-by-play sound. Gambo will react. Very first series of the game, the Minnesota Vikings. It took two plays, two, for this to happen.
Cousins, play action pass, setting up, throwing deep. Oh, my goodness, wide open is Osborne at the 20, caught at the 10 to the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown. A 64-yard strike as there were no Cardinals within 20 yards of Osborne as he caught the ball.
That's on Byron Murphy. He let him go with no safety help behind him, thinking he had help. But that's on Byron Murphy, that 64-yard touchdown. He let the guy go when he had no help behind him.
Minnesota's up 7-0. The teams would trade three and outs, but the Cardinals, on their second possession of the game, they would march down the field with a trips right formation and D-hop on the left. Murray would scramble and find his guy in the end zone.
Shotgun set, play clock at one. Cliff might have to call timeout. Nope, they snap it. Murray drops back, steps up. Now turns, runs to his left, throws left in the end zone. Hopkins is there, sliding catch for a touchdown. Oh, that was all Kyler Murray. With one on the play clock, he just got it off in time. He had nowhere to go, circling in the pocket, but he found a running lane, and then he found D-Hop in the end zone for the touchdown.
Well, they went after that poor cornerback from the Vikings on that play. Patrick Peterson targeted him, who had a terrible game, by the way. No, it was a great play. It was a 3rd and 10. It was a scramble. He saved the play. He also converted a 3rd and 6 earlier on that drive. That went for 9 yards. So, yeah, all Kyler for sure.
Yeah, all Kyler. So the Vikings would answer right back on a play where Marco Wilson slipped. This is Kirk Cousins finding Adam Thielen in the end zone.
Cousins takes deep set, looks over the middle, fires wide open in the end zone. Is Thielen for a touchdown. Looked like Marco Wilson fell down. He was covering Thielen, and it's an easy pitch and catch, and the Vikings retake the lead 13-7 with 24 seconds to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, it just fell down on that play. They started on their 25-yard line, and they really used Dalvin Cook there. 15 yards, 14 yards, 13 yards. The first three plays were big plays with Dalvin Cook, but at the end, they get the touchdown at the Thielen with Marco falling down.
So then after another punt from the Arizona offense, the Minnesota Vikings would get their third TD of the first half. Now, on this one, Marco Wilson had left the game with that ankle injury. He leaves. And then Minnesota marches right down the field. Not one third down play on this drive for Minnesota.
Play action. Cousins setting up and running to his left, being chased by Thompson. Flips it left side of the end zone. Wide open man. Caught for a touchdown by Jefferson. Great play by Kirk Cousins, rolling to his left. And then the receiver Jefferson came free wide open. 20-7 Minnesota with 8:56 to go in the half.
I had Buddha falling down on that play. So I had Buddha falling down. There was a big play by Kirk Cousins, a 30-yard run that helped set that up. But yeah, at that point, 20-7 because of the missed extra point, which would come back to haunt the Minnesota Vikings.
At that point, Kirk Cousins was 8 of 9 for 122 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. But the Cardinals would answer after the missed point after. Kyler Murray using his legs to get in the end zone.
Murray in an empty set has the football, and it's going to be a quarterback run up the middle at the 10, at the 5. Murray dives for the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Kyler Murray makes him pay with a 12-yard run.
Real quick, one of the plays that set that up, that double deflected pass that ended up in the hand of Max Williams.
Yeah. Went for 34 yards on that play, too. Two times that was tipped. I also, that was a great play by Kyler on 3rd and 16. After the sack by Hunter, who beat DJ Humphries, they had a 3rd and 16. That was one of those wow plays. With Kyler going to Christian Kirk for 19 yards, that was a wow play. And then, of course, the design play up the middle, 12 yards, 2014.
And then he strikes the yoga pose in the end zone. Now under 2 minutes left in the first half, the Vikings would punt it back to Arizona. And on the very next play, absolute magic.
Three receivers left, shotgun snap. Back to throw, Murray in trouble. Spins out of there to his left, being chased by two Vikings, and launches it deep, wide open near side at the 40s. Rondale Moore caught at the 30, at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Kyler Murray, you are ridiculous.
Just kept thinking of the America song. You could do magic. You could do anything. I mean, That's what it was. It was almost like, you know, sometimes you're just like, wow. Like, there's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
You ever get to a point in life where there's only one, just wow. There's nothing else to describe. Just wow.
99 and 91 were closing in on him, and he just spun out of there. And then
Kendricks.
Kendricks chasing him down, then delivers a dime as a right-handed quarterback throwing, running to his left, throwing down the field that far. It was amazing.
So he catches the ball at the 40-yard line, and there's only one guy that could tackle him, but Christian Kirk is there blocking him the final 20 yards, and the guy never got close. So great job by Christian Kirk with the blocking, and Rondale Moore, yards after the catch, this guy's a master.
Greg Joseph would hit a 52-yard field goal with 21 seconds to go in the half, but that proved to be too much time for the Cardinals offense, and Matt Prater. Prater goes boom.
This will be a 62-yard attempt. Andy Lee to hold. Snap, ball is down. Prater's kick is absolutely crushed, and it's gone! A 62-yarder at the gun by Prater, and the Cardinals take the lead 24-23 into the locker room.
How Rondale Moore got out of bounds on that play to set that up was just remarkable. I mean, it was remarkable. And then when Prater hit it, you was like, oh my God, that's right down the damn middle.
Yeah.
And then when it went through, you're like, that would have been good from 70.
So now we go into halftime, come out of the second half. Kyler Murray, his first true mistake of the game.
Shotgun snap for Kyler Murray. Five-step drop, climbs the pocket, throws to the right, and it's picked off at the 30-yard line by Vigil. Running it back to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for the Vikings touchdown. Just when you thought it was safe to get excited about the Cardinals again. A pick six.
It's a great play by Vigil. Just a great play. Like, he read it, he jumped it, and, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, it is going to happen. They had a chance. Rondale Moore actually had a chance to tackle him, but he kind of wasn't able to do it, and he went into the end zone and made it 30-24.
Down 30-24, the Cardinals offense would yet again march down the field. This time, Kyler getting A.J. Green into the axe.
Snap to Murray, quick throw to Green in the right flat. Caught at the 10, turns right, stiff-arming at the 5, and then diving into the end zone. A.J. Green with his first Cardinal touchdown. And the game is tied at 30 with the extra point coming.
I loved that play, right? Because he's a big, strong receiver. It was a Breland that was on him. And he just said, I'm going to run these 9 yards, and you're not going to be able to stop me. And he got in the end zone.
Yeah, Cardinals would be driving late in the third quarter with the opportunity to build on that lead. But then the second mistake of the day for Kyler Murray.
Moore and Kirk are split to the left. Connor in the backfield with Murray. Murray's got it. Drops back to throw, looking, stepping up, throws a deep ball middle of the field, and it's picked off at the 5-yard line by Woods. Far side 20, 25, cuts left, 30, out of bounds at the 32-yard line. Second interception thrown by Kyler Murray. Force that one.
You're going to take some deep shots? It's going to be the result sometimes.
Yeah.
You're not going to hit on every single deep shot. That one got picked off. They were driving. But they took a shot down the field. That one backfired.
The Vikings, after getting a roughing the punter call as part of their next possession, would convert that turnover into a field goal. They'd regain the lead 33-31. The Cardinals, on their next possession, facing a 4th and 5 from around midfield. More absolute Murray magic.
Shotgun formation. Snap to Murray. Pressure coming. Murray in trouble. Launches it up in the air. Christian Kirk is there. He's got it to 10 and down to the 5. That looked like the play from last week. It'll be 1st and goal. Kyler Murray, probably the only quarterback again who could escape that kind of pressure, backpedal, and then put enough on that ball to hit Kirk downfield.
Cover 0 at your own risk against Kyler Murray.
They sent 7.
Everybody.
They sent 7 guys on that blitz. And Kyler Murray, listen, he's getting to that point in his career where he's making teams pay when they blitz.
No doubt.
Defensive coordinators are going to have to say, I don't know if we want to blitz this guy because he's making great reads on the blitzes.
Unfortunately, that 1st and goal, the best the Cardinals could do was a Matt Prater field goal. Minnesota would get the ball back after yet another Cardinals drive that only went 24 seconds long. We talked about that earlier in the show. Minnesota runs the 2-minute offense to perfection, sets up this 37-yard game-winning field goal attempt from Greg Joseph.
Snap, spot. The kick is up, and the kick is no good. He missed. missed it wide to the right. He missed it. And the Cardinals win it 34-33. A missed extra point. And now a missed field goal at the gun. And Arizona's 2-0.
I was listening to Minnesota radio. I thought the Vikings won the game. That guy said, the guy on Vikings radio said the kick was good.
High snap. Put down. Joseph. Come on. It is gone.
Good.
It's no good.
Are you kidding me? Missed it right.
I was listening to Vikings radio, and I thought the Vikings won the game. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, hey, listen.
You take it.
You take it.
You take it. You don't apologize for it.
2-0 is 2-0, my friend. 2-0 is 2-0.
And that is Big Red Reacts here on the Burns and Gambo Show. When we come back, I can't believe we've waited this long to talk about him. He's been hyped up as a player with the potential to impact the Cardinals' offense. So far through the first two games of the season, Rondale Moore has been all of that and a bag of chips. And that's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
And at 3:19 in the afternoon, it is time for us to talk about this guy.
Three receivers left. Shotgun snap. Back to throw. Murray in trouble. Spins out of there to his left. Being chased by two Vikings. And launches it deep. Wide open near side at the 40s. Rondale Moore caught at the 30, at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Kyler Murray, you are ridiculous.
I'm not even sure that's the signature Rondale Moore to play from yesterday's game. I mean, okay, that was the one he scored a touchdown on. That was his first NFL touchdown. That play was far more Kyler Murray than Rondale Moore. The Rondale Moore to play is the 18-yard reception that set up the Prater 62-yard field goal.
Three receivers to the left. A.J. Green doesn't have a catch yet today. Wide to the right. Snap to Murray. Drops back to throw. Steps up in the pocket. Short pass to the left. Caught by Moore at the 40. And again, instead of running out of bounds, turns upfield. He's at midfield into Viking territory. Steps out of bounds with a second left. At the 43-yard line, it'll be a 61-yard field goal try for Matt Prater.
And I wasn't trying to knock you, Jordan, for playing that one, but that's the Rondale Moore play from yesterday.
He is so smart. We're going to have him on the show at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
And it's the number one question I want to ask him. How were you aware of the time and the distance to get out of bounds right there and leave a second on the clock? Like, if he decides to try to make one more move, it's either end zone or tackled, and the clock expires.
Yeah.
So it's either like you have to make a decision. He made one decision where he said, I've got two or three more seconds. I'm going to cut this inside and try to gain about another 7, 8, 9, 10 yards. And he did that. The second decision was, there's no time left. I either get my ass out of bounds right now or I got to try to take this to the house.
Mm-hmm.
He made, like, you couldn't have made a better decision.
No.
Like, the football IQ there, I don't know if he got lucky or if that's just complete awareness. I mean, come on, how many wide receivers are going to try to get those extra yards in that short amount of time and then still know to get out of bounds? Most guys are just going to get out of bounds and leave it up for a Hail Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right? It was perfect. And did he mean for it to be that perfect? I don't know. We'll find out at 4 o'clock when he joins us. I'm looking forward to that. Cliff Kingsbury was asked today if Rondale Moore is on track to be Rookie of the Year.
We're a long way to go from that, but he definitely is a talented young player who's ascending, and it's what we saw training camp. He's worked really hard at it. He's studied really hard since he got here with us, and it's good to see that paying off for him. He's got to stay healthy and keep doing his deal, but he's been a weapon so far.
Rondale Moore, through week two, leads all rookie wide receivers with 182 receiving yards.
You know what? Good for you. I was looking for that. I was looking for that.
I found it.
You had it.
I had it.
So no rookie receiver has more yards than he does.
Not right now. No. This one's an even bigger picture view of what's going on with Rondale Moore right now. And I got this from Paul Calvisi. He tweeted this out this morning. NFL leaders, all-purpose yards. This isn't just rookies.
Okay.
This is the whole NFL. NFL leaders, all-purpose yards. Christian McCaffrey, 1. Derrick Henry, 2.
Carolina's 2-0.
I know.
Sam Darnold's
2-0. McCaffrey 1, Derrick Henry 2, Deebo Samuel 3, Tyler Lockett 4, Rondale Moore 5. And then
what's that stat? All-purpose?
All-purpose yards.
Do you have
I know the breakdown.
Much.
You want the breakdown, right?
I want yards after the catch.
I don't have that.
I'm sorry.
What the hell?
You are greedy.
I know. I know.
Rondell, you are so. I'm giving you gifts on a Monday afternoon. You're just handing me bars of gold. Radio gold.
Bars
I'm giving
gold.
You, and all you're sitting there saying more, more.
I want more. I want more. Like the little girl in the AT&T commercial.
I thought what you were going to ask for was the breakdown of the yards. I thought you were going to ask for the breakdown of the yards.
Well, the yards after the catch. It can't be anybody close to this guy.
I don't believe there is.
There can't be anybody close.
Well, especially after yesterday. I mean, he caught that ball, at the 40?
40? At the 40.
And ran 40 yards after that. There can't be anyone anywhere near yards.
There is one guy. Rondell Moore is second in the NFL.
What?
With 151 yards after catch. Debo Samuel for the 49ers has 155.
Okay.
So 4 yards differential there between first and second.
So yesterday, I had this in my notes today. Rondell Moore had 115 yards, 93 of them were after the freaking catch. 93. DeAndre Hopkins had 13 yards after the catch. A.J. Green, 17. Christian Kirk, 4. He had 4 yards after the catch. Chase Edmonds, 16. Rondale Moore had 93 yards after the catch.
That's amazing. Here's my favorite one. Since we're just dishing on Rondale Moore here in numbers, this is actually came from our own Kellen Olsen.
Okay.
Andy Isabella's rookie season. 9 catches, 189 yards, 1 touchdown. Rondale Moore, 2 games into his rookie season, 11 catches, 182 yards, 1 touchdown. and you know what? I bring that up, not necessarily to mock Andy Isabella, though there was a moment where Andy Isabella's name was announced in the press box, and I said out loud, as in, whatever happened to Andy Isabella, and I got a few laughs on press row, so I appreciate those who chuckled along. But it's to point out, I think the reason why, and I don't want to speak for everybody here on this one, the reason why I was being very, very cautious about Rondale Moore and the impact he could have is because we've seen this movie before, right? We've seen wide receivers be drafted by this organization that have just not made the impact. And so with Rondale, for me, it was very much I'll believe it when I see it. I am starting to see it. It makes it very easy for me now to believe exactly how he can unlock this offense for them.
All through training camp, I was gung-ho on this guy. And you know that because you're here with me every day. I was so gung-ho about how good he could be. Getting a chance to see some of the film and everything like that and the plays. And just like, my God, he could be electric. Just freaking electric. And now you look at this wide receiving core with Kirk. Kirk's having a great year.
He's having a very good year. Yes,
I mean, Hopkins and look, A.J. Green is going to contribute. It's just like, man, pick your poison. Pick your poison. I mean, everything was so open yesterday. Max Williams was catching passes. Like, Max Williams was like, man, they're not going to cover me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wide open because they got to worry about all these other guys.
I don't want it to get lost in the ether, but you said it earlier when we were on with Luke and Wolf as part of our crosstalk. You think Rondale Moore is going to go down as the third best pick that Steve Keim has made?
Top three. My top three are Kyler, because that was a hard decision to make. It was a hard decision to make. You had just drafted a quarterback in the first round.
I'm not disputing
that. Kyler won, because Kyler's going to get $40 million a year. Number two, Buddha. Buddha's number two. And I think that Rondale Moore is going to end up being number three. There's others that I think Josh Jones is going to be a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. I think that's going to go down as a great pick. I think he'll be a Pro Bowl player. He's that good. And Christian Kirk, you got to keep him now. You got to keep Christian Kirk.
We'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. It was supposed to be his triumphant return to the desert. Instead, yesterday's game highlighted just why the Cardinals were more than happy to let him leave. We're going to talk Patrick Peterson next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Shotgun set. Play clock at 1. Cliff might have to call timeout. Nope, they snap it. Murray drops back. Steps up. Now turns, runs to his left, throws left in the end zone. Hopkins is there, sliding catch for a touchdown. Oh, that was all Kyler Murray. With 1 on the play clock, he just got it off in time. He had nowhere to go, circling in the pocket, but he found a running lane, and then he found D-Hop in the end zone for the touchdown. Patrick Peterson kind of lost Hopkins there.
It was good to see. It was nice to see Patrick Peterson play so terrible. I can't wait to hear his, what day is his all whatever podcast?
It usually comes out on Tuesday, or it's usually recorded on Tuesdays and then distributed either Tuesday night or Wednesday.
Okay, Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. He was terrible in that football game.
He's probably looking forward to the Tennessee Titan game coming up.
Yes. I think he might have been in Tennessee instead of here in Arizona.
He was on Broadway Street in Nashville instead of at the game yesterday.
According to Kyle Odegaard tweeted this out, according to Pro Football Focus, Patrick Peterson allowed 4 catches for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, when throwing at Patrick Peterson, had a perfect passer rating of 158.3. Thank you, Patrick Peterson. Now everybody knows exactly why they didn't sign you. Exactly why. Listen, let's be honest. If he was worth a damn, they would have signed him. If he had anything left in the tank, they would have signed him. But he doesn't. He's not a good football player anymore. Minnesota's going to learn, you know, it was a waste of $8 million. He's just not very good. So that was, and you saw it yesterday. I mean, he was getting blocked. He was getting blown up on blocks. He couldn't tackle anybody. He had a bad game.
Yeah, I saw that Kyle Odegaard tweet as well, and I took a screenshot of it because I knew we were going to talk about Patrick Peterson. I'm not saying this to try to defend Patrick Peterson at all. Do not misinterpret what I'm saying here. But understand that a big chunk of that grade, I think, came on that Rondell Moore 77-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah.
And on it, Patrick Peterson is clearly kind of stuck in between. He's not quite sure what to do. He's got responsibility for the back third of the field. So if he leaves D-Hop to go make sure that Rondell Moore's not that wide freaking open, he's going to leave DeAndre Hopkins that wide open. So he got dinged for having a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of moment. But his responsibility is the deep third to make sure that that's covered. And so when Rondell Moore is standing there with nobody near him, that's Patrick's responsibility. So he gets dinged for it, and Kyler Murray gets the perfect passer rating when throwing Patrick Peterson's way. Between that and that play, the play that we played from Dave Pasch wasn't that play. That was the D-hop touchdown in which Kyler Murray was scrambling. And remember, he left Patrick Peterson in the dust, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
He kind of went right and then turned left, and Patrick Peterson couldn't keep up with him. It was a very satisfying way to watch Patrick Peterson play yesterday.
Well, listen,
I'm not going to lie to you. It was very satisfying.
Listen, if you want to know why they didn't sign him, it just comes down to the guy wasn't any good anymore. His cover skills were gone. His ability to cover guys had gone. He made a lot of mental errors. He wouldn't tackle anybody. He just wouldn't tackle anybody. And he was never really a great leader either. Like, guys in that locker room, like, they respected him because of, like, his accomplishments. But he was not looked at as a leader. He was not a leader. So the lack of leadership, the inability to tackle, the mental errors, and not having any cover skills, I mean, it added up to they didn't want the guy back. That's it.
Patrick Peterson after the game on what it was like to be back in Arizona.
It was great. You know, it felt like I've been talking about it all week. It felt like a regular game. You know, that's how I wanted to approach it. And that's how I wanted to, you know, keep myself grounded and relaxed throughout the game as well. Just not let my emotions get too high. Just cruising altitude. You know, I believe in that. And I feel like I was for the entire game. Just wish I would have had one play back.
Jordan, are you with me? Please tell your story as a season ticket holder. If you're okay with
it.
This is a really good one.
At the tailgate, I was asking all sorts of people that tailgate with us about what is your reaction going to be to Patrick Peterson, just trying to get a gauge of it, trying to get a feel. And the guy who I actually sit with my season tickets, he was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be, you know, just kind of indifferent. I'm not really going to say anything. I'm just, you know, I appreciate what he did for the Cardinals in his time here. So then we get into the stadium, and we watch the Vikings come out of the field for the opening kickoff. And out of the tunnel, Patrick Peterson is the first guy leading the Vikings on the field by a good, like, 10, 15 yards. I mean, it was clear, like,
Look at me.
And he immediately runs over to the Vikings sideline and begins doing the skull chant with the arms. And my buddy, who was going to be completely passive, he's like, screw this guy. I hate him. I hate this guy now. Like, how do you come back to Arizona and you do that?
Man, Kyler Murray threw for 400 yards. Like, what's Patrick Peterson talking about? Oh, I want one playback. I want one playback. I want one playback. Man, I told you what the numbers were. I mean, he got torched. Yeah. Kyler Murray was perfect throwing at him.
Yeah.
I mean, they allowed Zimmer's defense allowed 5 explosive plays. That's 20 yards gained or longer. 5. Some were botched coverages, and But Patrick Peterson was responsible for a couple of those. He was responsible for a couple of the big plays that were given up.
Yeah.
And yeah, he lost Hopkins in the end zone on that play. He lost his guy.
Here was Patrick on what happened on the Hopkins play.
I just made a play. You got to keep Kyler in the pocket as much as you can. You know, he made a great play, started scrambling out to his left, ended up coming back to his left, and, you know, D-Hop saw it. You know, I was on my guy, and he ended up breaking back out. Just a scramble drill for the most part.
You know, it's kind of funny. It was enjoyable, and I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. You were giving me crap last week for being kind of indifferent to Patrick Peterson's return. I wouldn't cheer. I wouldn't boo. And if I were a paying customer, I don't think I would have booed the guy. But to sit here and pretend like I didn't have even some bit of satisfaction watching him struggle yesterday would be a complete lie. I'd be completely lying to the audience if I didn't get some weird, perverse pleasure in watching D-Hop score a touchdown against him.
It's not like he left and they wanted him back and he said, screw you guys. They didn't want him back.
Yeah.
So why is there so much vitriol? Is that a word? Vitriol?
Vitriol.
Yeah. Vitriol.
You were close enough. I probably didn't even need to correct you. Because
for Patrick Peterson. Okay. Like, why do so many people dislike Patrick Peterson when he wanted to come back?
The PED suspension.
Yes, six games. Yep.
The trade request.
Yep.
Right in the middle of Steve Wilkes' tumultuous first year. The inconsistent play over the last couple of years.
Poor play the last 2 years.
The I want out and then begging everybody's apology at the 16th, you know, hole of the Phoenix Open. The last 2 years of Patrick Peterson here were tumultuous. It was crazy. It was hard. It was hard to like him. It was for a guy.
I agree.
For a guy who had reached such great heights during his time with the Arizona Cardinals. It was really hard to like him the last 2 years because he was being such a diva, just wrapped up in his own little world and not seeing the forest for the trees with what was going on around him.
Okay, Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, sorry. Being completely tone deaf to the situation. It was almost impossible to like him. So when he left, I knew he was cooked. I never wanted him back. I thought Malcolm Butler was better than Patrick Peterson. I did. I'm like, fine.
Yeah, Marco Wilson's better.
Get somebody else in there other than Patrick Peterson. The guy is cooked. He's done. But that emotional sort of...
anybody named Marco is better.
Watching him fail thing, I enjoyed it yesterday more than I thought I was going to.
Marco Polo's like 500 years old. He's probably better.
But I will say this.
You did. You enjoyed watching him get beat.
I will say this. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over because the Cardinals have bigger fish to fry than Patrick Peterson on a return visit to the Arizona Cardinals. They have bigger goals, bigger things they want to accomplish.
Right.
More on their to-do list.
We won, you lost, move on.
I'm kind of glad it's over. I'm glad it's over because there's just more important things on the table for this team than they won up to Patrick Peterson. I'm glad it's done.
I agree.
Really am.
I agree.
Yep. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, speaking of I'm glad it's over... boy, you teed that one up for me. ASU football. Holy mackerel.
Man.
That was rough. Was it BYU or was it the Sun Devils themselves that lost that game on Saturday night? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Romney rolls out, throws for the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown by tight end Isaac Rex. In the back corner of the end zone, Romney just laid it up there and let his big tight end go up in the air and pluck it down. Rex, 6'6", 247 pounds. He has two tonight, and that one should salt this game away for BYU with a minute 19 to play.
Tim Healy on the Sun Devil Radio Network with the call from Saturday night.
That was embarrassing. I mean, I'm looking at Herm on the sidelines and just like, man, give me something. I mean, he's just like this blank look on Herm. Look, BYU's 3-0 against the Pac-12. Give him credit. They beat Arizona, Utah, and ASU. None of those teams are any good, by the way. They've won 12 straight at home. But, man, how do you explain 16 penalties, the most since 2006? How do you explain 4 turnovers in that game? How do you explain 7 penalties in the fourth quarter, 5 of them by the offensive line? Go, please, and please explain it to me. How the hell does that happen?
The first thing that comes to mind is every time I think about undisciplined football players, mm-hmm. I think about bad coaching. First thing I think of.
Yeah.
I think about coaching that's not where it needs to be. And I want to try to make this about the scandal going on at ASU, but you wonder, you know, what exactly is going on with ASU that would allow them, they've played three games so far. They had 13 penalties in the first one and 16 penalties in the third one.
36 altogether in three games.
And not that that's all on what's going on over there, but you do sort of wonder where everybody's primary focus is right now with that program, because they were a mess on Saturday night.
Can you honestly tell me that they practice a silent count? I mean, can you honestly say that they practice? This is stuff that must be practiced daily with crowd noise being pumped into practice. Look, you know, I remember plenty of times when ASU offensive linemen, guards, and tackles would hold hands. They would hold hands. And they had a silent count that was practiced intensely when you would go into a game, like especially when you go into Eugene to play the Ducks. You would see guys, they would hold hands. And you would practice that silent count. That way nobody would have a false start penalty.
Yeah.
The confusion that these players had was amazing. There was on one drive with ASU down 21-17, there were four false start penalties on a six-play drive. Like, you're pulling your hair out. Like, what is going? Herm's got this look on his face, like, you know, just kind of dumbfounded. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
yeah,
was it not practiced?
Look, and even if you don't want to make the correlation between the scandal and what's going on, and that's fine. Maybe that's a reach. But even if you don't want to make that correlation, let's say for a second you don't. Let's say for a second that's a reach. It's still really poor coaching to allow a team that had what, 10? Returning defensive starters and 9 returning offensive starters be that? I mean, I get
four
it.
Offensive linemen.
It's their first road game in 2 years, but a lot of teams are playing their first road game in 2 years with a true opposing crowd. Deal with it. Figure it out. Adjust.
Yeah, you can't hear the guy next to you. I understand that.
Teach your players discipline and how to, you know, focus in on their task. And so even if you don't want to make the link between the scandal, fine, don't. But the coaching is unacceptable when you have that many mistakes. Something is not being communicated from coach to player when your team is that sloppy on the field. There's just no other way to explain. You want an answer? That's the best answer I've got for you.
You can't tell me that they practiced the silent count, because I won't believe you. I mean, if Herm goes on and says, yeah, we practiced the silent count every time, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I just don't believe you. You know, because there are things that you could do. You could have the guards and the tackles hold hands, okay, because they can't hear the guy next to them, and you practice and you practice and you practice and you know the silent count. That should not, I don't care how loud it was, that should not happen. But four false-start penalties in a one-minute sequence is just inexcusable.
But here's the thing. You watched that game, so did I. It wasn't even just the penalties.
Turnovers.
How many broken plays were there? How many times did Jaden Daniels turn one way and, oh, I needed to turn the other way? Running backs going the wrong way. Turnovers, like you said. Dropped passes. How many times did that happen? I mean, the trickeration of the one interception where Jaden Daniels, fake left, fake right, throw over the middle. Didn't matter. Nobody was faked out by it. It bounced off of the receiver's hands, and it turned into an interception.
That was the one he threw an interception, tipped off of Hodges' hands, and Max Tooley picked it off. And BYU turned that into a touchdown.
And I'll tell you this right now, and I forgot the kid's name, but the kid from BYU who punched the ball away from Merlin Robertson.
It was the running back.
It was
one of the
Algiers.
Best plays.
Algiers.
Algiers, the running back.
Dude, he looked like Neo from The Matrix. The way he jumped up and just so perfectly.
Tyler Algiers.
It's like Merlin Robertson was moving in slow motion, and he was just able to time it, leap up perfectly, punch that ball out to have it land
huge
perfectly
play.
In bounds
huge
the way.
It was crazy.
Huge play. It was a crazy
Listen,
play.
Merlin Robertson intercepts Hall at the Devils' 30-yard line, and then he's returning, and he gets stripped by Tyler. It was just a great play by Tyler Algier. And then Hall recovers it. The quarterback is following the play. BYU lost 69 yards on that play, but they kept the ball. Then BYU punts. With ASU down by 4, they take over on their 4-yard line, and that's when you had the four false start penalties.
Yeah.
And then ASU's got a punt, and you're like, oh my. And then BYU, 6:37 left in the game. They're at their own 23-yard line. Their backup quarterback is in the game, and they decide on a third down to get aggressive and go for the jugular instead of just taking time off the clock and kicking a field goal to go up by 7. They get a touchdown on that third down by the backup quarterback. Oh, by the way, that drive was aided by an ASU face mask penalty,
sure,
which gave BYU 15 more yards. Man, I don't know. The frustration level was through the roof of me watching that football game.
Yeah, the game was a mess.
So frustrated.
And the conference is a mess, and we'll probably talk more about that a little bit tomorrow. But when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he's only two games into his NFL career. Rondale Moore is already playing them like an experienced vet. The Cards rookie wide receiver joins us next on the Burns and Gambo show.